Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have four rounds of the magazine, and I am very excited to have old Catherine back in the fold today. She's not full-time back yet, but she's back today. She's just going to be doing a little bit of new mom goofing on the show, because I came across, for round number one, I came across this unbelievable book that Lady Loves Taff actually sent out, that she saw it in the PX, and she said that it made her die inside the moment that she saw the cover. She put up a picture on Twitter. I have never bought a book that – I take that back. I bought that book, The Enlistment, faster than I bought this one, but it was an instantaneous purchase. It's called Today's Military Wife. On the cover of the book, it is dog tags with two – extremely plain gold wedding bands, like the privates who get them, right? Straight from the jump. This book is 80 years old. They've been doing this thing for 80 years. This is the seventh edition. It's the best military reference book, according to several different websites. We're going to take a close look at this is going to be a common theme for the next 6 months or so. We're going to be pulling stuff from this book, and it's going to be fantastic. So that's going to be round number one. Round number one, Kate is back, at least for this episode. She's still on leave, and learning her significant other can help her via this book for military spouses. It's something special. There's no doubt about that. Round number two, each unit has a motivator whose job it is to get people going. One Army specialist did not fail his task this week when his unit headed out to the range. Round number three, an Army major was drugged and bitten at a Polish strip club, and apparently that's a problem for Cons' soft-ass Army. What's going on with that, Cons?
I'm not too sure.
They're trying to kick this dude out of the military because he got drugged by some strippers with some champagne in Poland.
I feel like that's not his fault. Yeah, I've never been to Poland, that sounds Polish. Yeah,
you go to Poland and you don't end up with a couple bite marks, you didn't go to Poland.
I found that most strippers are very Polish.
They are. That was my blog. Dude, I wrote a blog about this last week when it came out, because, of course, we recorded in the morning and then this story comes on, which obviously makes the cut for ZBT. And I put out polls on polls. Like, that's what I said. Like, come on. Like, that's it. And people were like, what does that even mean? Fucking idiots. Readers are idiots sometimes. Idiots. Just unbelievable. Mm. And finally, round number four, there is a tale of some folks who went out on this unbelievable adventure in Canada. It's a group of 15 people. They are going to be sleep deprived, have no access to clocks, no access to any type of technology, and they want to see what you naturally sleep as, like your sleep patterns, if you don't have any light, no daylight, no sunlight, nothing. And you have no technology telling you what time it is. They want to see if you can keep track of days, how they were trying to stay in there for 30 days. What actually ended up happening is crazy. That seems like a literal nightmare, right? Like,
that doesn't sound appealing to me.
No, it does not. What is appealing is saving a little bit of money with our good friends at GovX, and that's who the show is presented by today. GovX is it's a website. If you haven't used it before, you need to check it out. If you're a veteran or if you're a first responder, firefighter, whoever, even volunteer firefighters, Kate, I believe that they can go to GovX.
I'll allow it grudgingly.
Even the volunteer firefighters can go there. You go to govx.com. They have all kinds of different gear. They have different stuff from like North Face, Under Armour, and so many more brands like Oakley and Garmin and stuff like that. Go check it out. You're going to get a good percentage off. They have $15 off your first order of $50 or more. That promo code is ZBT15. So many websites have this tie-in. They say that they'll give you a military discount, which a lot of times you don't know how you're going to get that. GovX is tied into a lot of these websites, so you can get your stuff validated. You upload your DD-214 or they use your social security card or your VA number or whatever to verify the fact that you actually have served, then you get a discount in a lot of different places. It's kind of like Lowe's for everything. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Go to govx.com to check that out. Promo code ZBT15 for $15 off your first purchase of $50 or more. Pretty great deal there. Let's get going with the show. All right, Kate. So I want to start off the show with you because we're going to be getting into this book. First of all, your experiences as a new mother coming into play. Do you feel like any of your military training has helped you so far in your first month or so of momness?
I would say the ability to sleep anywhere in any position. I definitely. And then to not, you never want to lose your rifle, you know? You always want to have that. You always want to make sure you have the baby, you know?
You got a permanent battle buddy now.
Exactly. A permanent little battle buddy. And then also, I feel like a QRF force. I now, when we finally do lay him down in his bassinet, next to it, I lay down a robe, socks, slippers, my glasses, a granola bar, a water, and all this stuff. When he first starts to cry in the middle of the night, I hop up, I throw all my shit on, I'm ready to go. I take him out in the living room.
You give yourself fire watch, essentially.
I give myself fire watch, yeah. And also, Pat has for his late night shifts, he has a little red light like we use on our moonbeams in the military.
A little tack light, yeah.
He has a tactical light he clips onto his hat. And so he's walking around the apartment in the dark with this red light and the baby. And so we're good.
But that's got to be scary at certain points when you forget, because you've only lived together for a couple months. So like, and you've been by yourself for so long, waking up in the middle of the night and seeing a red moonbeam going by, it's got to be like, whoa.
Whoa.
Especially because we both fall asleep to Dateline murder podcasts.
Oh, that can't be good.
It's like, and then he walked in with the knife and there's this red light in the dark. I'm like, oh, yeah. So
I've been watching this show that has been creeping me the fuck out at night. It's these kids that like, well, they're under than 18 whenever they commit the crime that they do. Mm-hmm. And then they go to prison for the rest of their life. And it's these lawyers who are trying to get these kids who committed the crimes. Now they're adults out of jail. Some of these stories from these teenagers who did that stuff, it's like, I don't know if you should be getting out.
Yeah,
fella.
Should we rehabilitate you, or you just messed up and we found out a lot sooner, so we're going to save society and maybe just keep you locked up?
One of them legitimately went to his grandma's trailer because she didn't let him go to like the movies with his friends, was grounded during the summer, tied his grandmother down to the bed and lit the entire trailer on fire. like friend, that's you do terrible. Not need to get out. Like, that's not just something that you just decide to do when you're 15 and then all of a sudden it's out of your system.
Right. That, well, you don't grow out of that.
That's the scary thing too, like about being a new mom. Say I go to like adjust him and his head flops a little. I'm like, oh my God, is that going to be the reason he snaps in 10 years? Like, oh no. Like, just every little thing I do, I'm like, will this affect him later in some crazy way?
Well, there are certain times too, and I'm sure you probably haven't experienced it yet, but there are certain things that you're doing as a parent where you're not trying to mess it up. Like most parents, I'd say 99.9% of the parents out there love their kids and don't want to fuck it up, but it's hard to do it perfectly straight up from the get-go. Like, it's a very difficult thing to do. There was times where McCartney would say, like a year and a half old, pushing her on the swings, like going on the swings, going back and forth. And you'll see like a head snap for it. And you're like, oh shit, I'm about to get hit with a lawsuit for
like a Dyfus is coming for me.
Child abuse because I just gave my baby shaking baby syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, walking him on the sidewalks around here, they're all bluestone. And so he's crying. He's like, ugh. I'm like, oh my God. And then you take
that
him and I'm like, walking
Instagram
him in the
post was great. Cause you, that it was looked funny. Legitimately like a horror house. Like if you're driving a baby down a street, that's not the one you want to go down. It's a cobblestone street, essentially.
This entire neighborhood is old bluestone sidewalks that are just super uneven. And so then I'm walking them in the street, and then I'm in the local Mommy and Me Facebook group, and it's like, have you seen these? Well, I'm walking their kids in the street in the strollers, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting judged. It's like a whole
thing. Relax, other moms. Talk about getting judged, though. I remember a story one time, and you know, people think they're not doing a good job with their kids. I remember one time my dad had to bring my little sister to the hospital because, you know, like a lot of times parents will like swing their kids, they're walking with them and they swing them. well, I guess he was swinging or whatever, and she was too young to do that, pulled her arm out of the socket.
You know what that's called? It's called nursemaid elbow.
Oh, yeah, or nanny's elbow. Yeah, that's what I heard it as. But yeah, he brought her to the hospital, and he's getting all these stares like, oh, geez, here's this abusive father that, you know, hurt his kid. And the doctor said, oh, no, that happens all the time. So I'm always very cognizant of that I don't swing little kids unless I feel like they're old enough to
do it. That happened to me when I lived in base housing in Patuxent River, Maryland. One of my dad's friends was a Marine, and he did like the helicopter game.
Yep.
And my back folded. He was like way too strong and was like really giving me the what for spinning me around.
Oh, he was doing it with you.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was little. I was like probably 7 years old.
Oh, I thought you meant as an adult.
Now, like that would be weird. Adult. Like now I'm fucking 37.
Imagine just a full grown adult.
That's what they do down at the Air Wing.
Yeah,
they do.
My back folded up like a scorpion, like where I was just mm-hmm. completely like in half, essentially. I couldn't move. Like, I don't know what happened. I couldn't move. They had to bring in a life flight. They life flighted me to the Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C. And I guess things got better. The doctor was like, are you fast? Because they gave me like this huge x-ray or CAT scan or whatever. I don't remember what it was. And I guess there was no structural damage. So they were thinking maybe he's just scared to move because it hurt.
Uh-huh.
Probably is that exactly what happened. He's like, are you fast? I was like, yeah, dude. I play shortstop. I'm pretty fucking fast.
I'm the next Ozzie Smith.
What 7-year-old is going to say? No, I'm very slow. Yeah, like every 7-year-old is like, I'm Usain Bolt, essentially.
Yeah.
So he was like, well, let's see if you can get up. I want to see how fast you can run. I was like, you are in for a show, my friend.
Yeah.
So I sprinted down the hallway and he's like, oh, you're fine to go home. And I was like, you tricky son of a bitch. You got me good.
And then, you know, Kate, in addition, I'm going to bring this up now. I wasn't sure. I guess this is as good a time as any. As we like to do, we like to bring our problems with our significant others to this podcast because it's just the three of us talking. No one else is listening. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal. You posed to the internet, what is the proper way to get out of the shower when it comes to drying oneself off? And I put out a poll on Zero Blog 30. When you get out of the shower, do you do it in the shower before you even get out? Do you get out and stand on the tile and drip all over the tile? Do you stand on the bath mat or Navy Coast Guard? The winner was to stand on a bath mat because that's what they're there for.
Right.
And then in number two, in the shower completely. And 6% said it was okay to stand on the tile. So Kate, your thoughts.
Yes. So Pat, my baby daughter, he every time I go in there, and again, this is the first time I've lived with a guy for like, it's been like 6 or 7 years. So it's a little adjusting. I'm used to doing my own shit.
But at least with the problem that you told us about on the last episode that you're on, you're not sure whose pubes are which.
No, they're rolling around here like tumbleweeds at this point. It's pretty rough, I'm not going to lie.
The entire apartment looks like it's sponsored by Troll Dolls.
Yeah, you know it's not the baby. That's narrowed it down. It could be me, Spork, or Pat. No one knows. But our bathroom is tile, and we have a tub that is separate from the shower that has a very sharp edge to it. And every time I go in there after he gets out of the shower, the floor, the mats are dry. The floor, when I say there's puddles, there's like huge puddles everywhere because the guy, he's a hairy guy. He's like a sponge. There's just water everywhere.
Right.
And there's been times where I have slipped. I haven't fallen, but I've like slipped a little bit. Like even when
you're prone to doing bathrooms anyway, you've had experience breaking your elbow.
And finally I was like, dude, you gotta start standing on the mat. And he's like, stand on the mat. Who stands on the mat when they get out of the shower? That's how a mat gets wet and mildewy. And I'm like, what? My mind was blown. He says,
saying you don't use a towel because it'll get gross. What?
He said he always steps over the mat as fast as he can to avoid getting it wet. And then sometimes thinking of me, he's like, and then with you in mind, I'll put socks on and I'll like squiggle across the bathroom floor, soaking up the water with my socks.
I guess, you know, good for him that he's thinking of you a little bit. Does Pat realize that these mats, they can go into the washing machine so as not to get mildewy and gross?
Well, then also I was like, and speaking of puddles, there's been a couple times where I've walked in there and he's do you guys pee hands-free when no one's looking?
Only in like the woods.
Only if I'm going in the sink.
Yeah. I had on pajama pants the other day and my pajama pants are long and I go to pee and I'm like, why are the bottom of my pajama pants wet? Well, there was a puddle of piss and I was like, what are you doing? He was like, I was too tired. I was like, too tired to hold your penis? So I mean,
I could have accepted almost any other answer. If it was, I was bored, just wanted to see, I was up late, I had my red light on, mm-hmm. I didn't want to turn it in. There are so many excuses that you could come up with when you have a young child where you're like, look, I was holding the baby, I really had to go, but I couldn't get there. Like, there's so many things that you could come up with, but I'm tired. It's not one.
No, this
is his thing. I've seen it a million times. He loves peeing hands-free. It's just
you know what? I'm like, if he was
like the grown-up version of riding a bike with no hands.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if he was in the shower, I think that's acceptable. Like Costanza said, it's all pipes. So I think that's fine because you're not really going to get it on anything. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think he needs to have a little more control.
There's puddles all over the bathroom floor. This would be unacceptable in the military. That's why I need this book, Chaps. I need this book.
Yes, so Chaps, good segue there. Chaps, tell us about this book.
All right, so this book, it's fairly ridiculous. Like, you go in, to give you an idea,
premise of this book to help, it's to help military spouses.
Yes, and at the beginning of the book, even though it does say today's military wife, I think that's because it was started 80 years ago. And there is like a disclaimer at the beginning that's like, even though we use he or she, like it could go to same-sex couples, it could go if the woman is serving and not. But before we get into it, I want to ask you, Kate, because you're the only woman on this podcast. As somebody who is a Marine and was around like spouses, did you ever judge the spouses, like just the straight up wives of the military members, like, oh, you softy, like why didn't you serve?
Oh, I never judged them as a why didn't you serve, but I judged them and I judged the shit out of them, but I never because they weren't serving. No, because
they're depend upon them, missus.
No, just because
there was a litany.
Be honest, not now, not what would Kate in her 30s say. I'm talking about Kate, 23, 24 years old. Were you super judgmental about the military spouse? I'll be honest, I was.
Yes, because I was enlisted. And when you are young and enlisted, you just marry anybody off the streets. And some of these ladies, where the fuck did these guys find them? I don't know. Now, I also had military spouses I was friends with that I loved. But there was a few where I'm like, what? What are you thinking, pal? Anyway.
I mean, I've told this story before. I had the one guy who married the young woman who was working at the gentleman's club. Thought that was a good idea.
Several bars.
I feel like nightlife is a common place to meet a spouse when you're a young enlisted person.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what up? That's the reason why you join. Honest to God. Like, there's so many young dudes. There's so many Marines that I knew, if they weren't a Marine and had like a solid, steady income where they had like the benefits that come along with it, they would have never got the level of attractive spouse that they did. Never.
And then I saw some
that just straight up would have never gotten married, and they happened to pull a big fat fatty because they were
had a lot of those. And then also we had a guy who got caught selling NVGs on the dark web so he could get tits for his wife. So
I think that's fine.
That's a noble cause.
You got to get it written off. Like, if it's already written off and you got to get like a friend of a friend to sell it for you and they get like a cut in order that to happen, you can't just go on there and like sign into you. Like, I can't go on to eBay on Uncle Chaps and start selling fucking NVGs and things like that.
Yeah.
But it is funny to look at different folks. I always felt this will be like a little behind. I don't know if I would say this now, but I'll give you how I felt at the time. When I was a sergeant, like an E5, so pretty new still, but like on my first contract, and I would look at somebody who was a senior staff NCO that had been in for like 15, 16 years, who part of your job is to stay in shape. Like, you have to stay thin. You have to stay like in good physical condition. Whenever they would come in trim in uniform, looking good in uniform, and then in would walk this spouse, and they would just be like a tub of butter, like just standing there.
No.
Like, they would just look like a garbage bag filled with pancake batter walking around. I was always like, that has got to just sting so much.
But I always appreciated that because in pop culture and in the movies and everything, it's always a normal looking dude with a super hot girl. And so I appreciated the reversal for a change with the Marine.
And that reversal might be more common than the other side.
Yes.
So
I would agree.
So this book, it starts out from the very beginning. It tells you how to take your husband to MEPS, what he needs at MEPS, how you have to like talk to him whenever he's at. And for civilians listening, MEPS is like the military in processing unit where you go when you very first start. It's where they take your initial physical, the very, very first steps. So it starts there. But then they also go into boot camp. And each one of the boot camps, the Army and the Marine Corps more, they don't allow you to talk to your family while you're in boot camp. Like the Marine Corps, you get no, you walk in, you have your initial phone call, like, hey, this recruit has arrived safely on Paris Island. I am this day. This is my graduation date, tentatively. Then you hang up. You're not allowed to have any pleasantries at all. But this one tells you how to write letters. And it says a question. How can I give motivation and encouragement to my husband in a letter while he's in boot camp? Kate, we'll start with you. What would your answer, what would your response be there?
Polaroids of your tits.
Yeah.
But the drill instructors,
but knowing what you know now, yeah, you know those tits might end up being on the wall by the drill instructor's hut.
Ooh. We had this, and when I was in boot camp, we had a woman who's, her husband was already in. There was a few women in my boot camp class who their husbands were already in, so they joined as well.
Probably because they're sick of people like Kate being like, oh, you're not going to give me shit for being a pussy. I'm going to join too.
Well, so you'd think he would know better. He sent her in the mail to boot camp a photo, and I don't know why she would want this anyway, a photo of her giving him a BJ. He sent her a photo of that.
I could have sworn you were going to say his dick. That's preposterous.
Yes. And the drill instructors were like, what the fuck is this? And so he's a Marine too, so he got in trouble. And anyway, it was just.
Well, wait, why would he get in trouble? It's supposed to be a private letter. You're allowed to take a picture of your significant other. Well, maybe not, because technically by the UCMJ, blowjobs, even in marriage, is illegal.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's weird.
You can only do missionary. It was a whole thing. And she also was like, why would I want a photo of me giving him a blowjob? Like, why? Anyway, I don't know what I would want.
And just how ridiculous it is to print that picture out.
Yes. Yes. Especially
it's not like you're sending it in an email. It's a legit Polaroid.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very silly thing. I guess I would say I would just want all I wanted to know was what was happening in the real world. Give me some newspaper clippings, some like whatever, and then say, I love you. That's all.
Yeah, because I don't even know now. What sort of connection do you have to world events and current events when you're in boot camp?
We had
nothing. Anything? I don't know anything. So I would want something like that. You know what this reminds me of? Back in the day, and we're all of age that we still did this when we were in high school. Remember you used to pass notes to maybe, you know, your friends or to somebody else you might have been interested in, and you get notes, and it was really just a page or two pages worth of nothingness. I think that suffices, because you also have to think there's a good chance that this letter gets read by somebody else. And if she's saying explicit things,
it's basically prison rules. Like, don't write anything that you don't want a bunch of people to see.
Exactly. So just write a bunch of gibberish that doesn't mean anything, basically.
And you're right about not knowing any type of current events. The only thing I remember them telling us is Fallujah 1 was going on, like the Battle of Fallujah 1 was going on. So they told us about that, like how bad Fallujah 1 was. And then the second thing they did was March Madness was happening while I was in boot camp. And they said, it's the weekend, it's Sunday, March Madness is going on. We're going to let you guys watch TV while March Madness is going on. So they roll out the TV like they do, like
you're in grammar school,
in like third grade or whatever. Yeah. And it legitimately is the same TV. It's like a tube TV that's on the big black cart, like your substitute teacher would roll in. Mm-hmm. They don't turn it on. They just said you could sit here and watch it. Like the TV never comes on. You're just sitting there, and they say you're going to sit here for the next 90 minutes and just watch TV. So we just sat crisscross applesauce looking at the TV. That's all they did. But the book actually says, here's what they say. Write what you'd say in person and know that, and keep telling him that he can do it, that you're proud of him, and that you can appreciate that he's making a life better for you too. Say you're looking forward to graduation and miss him. Send him photos and notes written on the back. Write corny jokes and inspirational things. Think like Snapple Tea type jokes. Perhaps date each letter and write every day a long-handed letter about what you did. Also, tell him he's your superhero.
That's where you lost me. That's where you lost me. Tell him you're your superhero.
Okay, I want to get your thoughts. Can you imagine a scenario in which you would tell your significant other, save for the fact that he actually saved your baby and you from like a burning vehicle, that he's your hero?
No, I do tell him I'm proud of him when he goes to the gym at night, because oh. I will never. I'm like, I'm
what about
you.
If he starts holding it when he pees?
Then he would be my superhero. It takes so little. The bar is so low.
It's so low.
It's so low.
I can't imagine a scenario where Annalise says that I'm her superhero. Right. Cannot imagine a scenario. Alex would rather die.
Yes.
Tell that to Connor.
Absolutely, yeah. She would. That's oh my gosh. I would get the exact opposite of a letter when I was, if I were in boot camp right now with her. She would just be, I don't know, ragging on me.
I bet you're failing. I bet you suck at this.
Yeah.
I'll see you in a couple days. You're not making it till May.
Yeah.
The best part about this book, though, is that they do. I was actually legitimately interested in reading this part, because they go into like some of the old history about what it was like for families from 1776 to 1847 in the U.S. military. Families were considered a hindrance to military efficiency and operations. So they didn't even want you to have one. The old adage of if the Marine Corps wanted you to have a wife or a husband, yeah. They would have issued you one. Like, that was a legit thing that happened in the 1700s.
That makes sense, though. They could spin it, hey, you have a distraction because you're thinking about your family and I need you focused on this mission. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And then in 1861, they got real liberal with it and they let the wives of enlisted soldiers become laundresses, like where they did all the laundry of the soldiers.
That's nice of them. Mm-hmm. Very progressive.
And then in 1963, the Union Army exemptions are authorized for family or personal considerations. And then it goes on. Finally, in 1896, families of enlisted men are recognized monetarily. So that's when they started to give you more money if you were married. That happened in 1896. I would have thought it was before that. And then it goes on and they start more and more up until 2011. That's when President Obama actually said that having families and support of the families was the nation's number one national security issue.
Interesting. I never heard that actually from him.
Right. And we were still in a war, dude. Mm-hmm. So I would disagree.
I would vehemently disagree with that. But you know what's interesting? You'd say this is in its 80th year, its 7th edition. Maybe that's why all these tropes and these stereotypes keep getting perpetuated, because all the spouses keep reading this stupid book.
Maybe.
Oh, well, I don't think this book is stupid, Cons. You okay. need to order yourself.
All right, I'll have to read it myself.
This one, it made me sad. There's also a part that I was going to go through here where they tell you that spouses should learn the rank structure and address your husband's like supervisor by their actual rank. For instance, they should say hello gunnery sergeant whenever the gunnery sergeant came. Like, if a wife came up to me or a spouse came up to me and called me anything other than chaps, I'd be furious.
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay. Like, he called me by my rank. Like, you're not in the military, dude. What are you doing?
Maybe possibly the only exception is if you're walking around and there's some generals around. Maybe that'd be the mm-hmm. only exception, because I feel like you warrant it at that level. But other than that, yeah, first names only.
They also very kind. Last thing that I'll talk about on this one for this segment. They also tell the husbands or the wives, like whenever they're having the coffee parties and they get together, they're making it sound like we were soldiers. Like that's what mm-hmm. women still do, is like get together with their little tea groups and shit. Mm-hmm. They say that make sure you invite the husbands of the women who are serving, because they can often feel left out. I appreciate that. Like that they're trying to make the husbands feel. No husband's doing that. He's not going to like a women's club and he's going to go eat fucking tea and crackers. Like that shit's not going to happen.
Yeah. There was a tweet the other day and it was this dude. He said, hey, yeah, my wife said, hey, just come to brunch with me and all my coworkers. You can just talk to all the husbands. And then it shows the picture and it's just him and 12 women. There were no other husbands there for whatever reason. And he just looked miserable. So I would imagine that would be a similar scenario if the one husband was in that group. But I agree with you. Do they still do kind of tea and stuff, or what's the equivalent in today's military? country, you think?
I'm sure it depends on the unit. I'm sure it just totally depends.
It's probably one of those pyramid schemes, like where they're selling like those yoga pants and shit.
Yeah absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. Those MLMs of multi-level marketing schemes. Yeah.
What's your favorite multi-level market like schemes? What's your favorite one?
I remember I had a friend from high school who married an officer. He was an officer in the army, and she had him doing, they would post all these videos all the time. It was called It Works. It was these body wraps that you would make you skinny.
Oh.
And she used him all the time as her model for the wraps and stuff. Like, he's got a big whatever coming up, and so he'd be all wrapped up. And I'm like, can he do that? He's active duty in the army, like selling.
Oh yeah, I could do that.
She had him like a puppet making him sell It Works, and like part of her sales tactic was like, you know, support, you know, don't you want to support this soldier and blah blah blah, It Works, blah blah blah, you can be like him. It was like, ooh.
The only thing that makes that tough is that if you're in a position of leadership and your troops happen to see that, they know that you are not demonstrative at home, like the your personality where you have this strong alpha type of personality at work does not exist at home. If you're drinking fucking bubble tea, if you're just talking about how much your Scentsy candles, like how good they smell, you're not the same dude at home.
No,
you just, no.
Not at all. I've seen,
you're like me at home, like where your wife tells you what to do.
Yeah, I just defer. I've learned in the last, I don't know, I'd say 18 months, just, hey, just, yeah, whatever, that works. Just,
there's so little that you actually care about.
Right.
Like that to me, like, I feel like I have a very successful relationship, and that's because things that I don't care about, I don't act like I care about them. Mm-hmm. Like, if she wants to decorate the living room in a certain way, in reality, I don't give a fuck like what the living room looks like. She's got to make it look pretty nice. So if she's like, do you like this? This is what I'm thinking. Fuck yeah, I like that. That shit's awesome. I love
it. You did a great job. Great job. I remember one time we were at my parents' house, and she was, Alex was getting on me about something or whatever, and I was going back, and my dad just whispered, he goes, just let it go. Just don't.
See, Al knows. He's been in the game for a while. He's been there for a bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if she says something that's really mean and it stings, just throw on your Shady Rays so you can cover up your tears. Shady Rays has never understood why glasses were so expensive, so they set out to change that. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company, so they do things their way. Sometimes that's very rare in the industry. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades at a fraction of the price of the big name brands. No need to overpay for sunglasses. The craziest thing is the warranty. This is the strongest warranty in eyewear replacements. If broken or lost for any reason, but you're going to do it this summer. You just flat out are. Like, you might not have done it 2 years ago. People aren't used to summertime. This summertime is going to be like your first summer that you've ever had in your life, because you're going to be able to go out places again. You're going to be back at bars, back at the beach. You're going to lose the shit out of your sunglasses. Mm-hmm. So you might as well go with Shady Rays, because that's what I'm going to do. I know for a fact that I'm going to break some in my pool or whatever. That's fine, because I have a good ass warranty. You can too. And not only that, but Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed. They've donated 15 million meals to date. They stand behind their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they'll throw profit out the window to do what it takes. And we've seen that all across the Barstool platform. Use the promo code ZBT for 50% off of two or more pairs at shadyrays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for the low, low cost of just $48.
And they aren't the type where it's like cheap sunglasses you pick up at a CVS and they're just janky. They're quality sunglasses. I've had a few pairs for a few years because we've been working with Shady Rays for a few years now. They're awesome. They look stylish. I love them. I love Shady Rays.
They are very good. All right, let's move on to round number two. We are going to have a little bit of motivation. By the way, people were very upset when I said that we were going to get rid of the Monday Motivator, like of Corporal Greg, who's Sergeant Greg now, by the way.
Good for
him. Sergeant of Marines.
The outcry that we received when that didn't show up on Monday was overwhelming and totally unexpected.
And I thought people were sick of it. I honestly thought people were sick of it.
Me
not
too.
Sick of it.
No, I don't even know if they're not sick of it as much as now they just grew to accept it and it became part
people
of their Monday.
Change.
Yeah.
It's like when The Office got taken off of Netflix.
Right, right.
Like, you don't really need to watch it that much, but when it's not there and you want to watch it, you're upset about it.
It's a comfort thing for sure.
I mean, imagine being back for our age, being 15 or 16 years old, turning on TNT on a Saturday afternoon when it's raining and Willy Wonka is not on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
essentially the same thing. You don't really care about watching Willy Wonka, but you got
You need Charlie to be there with Grandpa Joe.
Did you know that that was the only movie he ever acted in?
Who's that? Oh, Charlie?
Charlie Bucket. His only acting performance ever was Willy Wonka. And then he decided he didn't want to do acting anymore. And guess what he became?
The owner of a candy factory.
Very close. No, he didn't do that. He didn't have a great glass elevator either. Kate, what's your guess?
Soldier.
No, that would have been a very nice tie-in, but he was actually a veterinarian. So he was a veteran.
All right.
He was a vet. So that kind of that kind of fits too. But we also have a motivator for round number two. This one going to be real quick. We don't have to give a whole lot of discussion. This one comes from Task and Purpose. They're at a rifle range when this is about to go down. This, to me, really shows what it's like for junior enlisted life whenever you're doing things that suck. You always have a couple people in the unit that can make even the worst type of training more enjoyable. That's exactly what this specialist does. Give him a listen.
Now, was this, it was dark out. So was this super early morning or evening?
Oh yeah. From what I gather from the clip, this is like a 0304 okay. type training evolution that just absolutely sucks. You mm-hmm. have somebody that has a good personality that are going out there and doing that type of thing. Kate, I would imagine you were that troop.
I could see that.
That was in a good mood. That was like,
well, that was like trying to, like, even though something was shitty, because you don't like people to be in a bad mood and you don't like people to feel bad, I could see you going above and beyond to make people want to laugh or to like break the monotony of bad mood.
Oh yeah. And especially cause it's so easy to, when Marines are delirious, cause it's like 03 in the morning, it's so easy to make them laugh. And that's like a high for me. So oh, yeah, half my time in the military was in the smoke pit, imagining I was in that scene in Dumb and Dumber where he's dreaming at the wheel and he's making the people around the fireplace like
yes.
laughing. Yeah. That was like how I saw myself in my head like half the time. Yes.
When he lights the fart on fire.
Yeah. And I'm one of those people too. Like normally I suck, but I'll step up to the plate when everyone else is sucking. So mm-hmm. I'll, like, if you're in a bad mood, all right, I'll get out.
And of that really mind. Is like.
We lost oh, no. him.
We lost him.
We lost Chaps.
Reloading, swapping mags, mag change.
And in full disclosure, I just lost power, so we just completely lost where we were at. But Kant has one more point about this motivator, fellow.
So this motivator, hopefully we'll put out a link, or at least maybe we'll put out the video. And in the video, he's holding a pipe, and I think that adds to the comedy of it because a pipe is not something. Yeah, tobacco pipe. A pipe is not something that you really see very much these days. So the way he was speaking, that voice with the pipe, I think added to it. Shout to my guy, one of my buddies, Nick. He smokes a pipe from time to time, switches over from cigars to a pipe. It's a lost,
if you smoke a pipe, you've got to be really cool.
Yeah.
Like my grandpa did, and he had on like the little Irish cap and the pipe and he smoked in the house back then. And mm-hmm. I, to this day, when I smell that smell, which is rarer and rarer, I love it. It takes
that's
me
what
right
I have.
Back.
That's we're talking about. Candles, the little wax warmers. I have pipe tobacco mm-hmm. as like my go-to scent.
Yeah, that's a good
that
one.
Being said, with the pipe smoker, if pipe smoker, if you say something that's like fucked up or you're like a douche in any way, it's kind of like the fart in Step Brothers, where if you're wearing a tuxedo, it's hilarious. But then if you fart while you're wearing the tuxedo, it makes the tuxedo extra fucked up. Mm-hmm. Being a pipe smoker, if you do a douchebag move, it makes it so much worse. Like, you can't be pipe smoker. Pipe can be the only thing in that category that you do. Like, you cannot be a pipe smoker and also read like A Particle in Time, like by the fucking dude who is super smart but can't speak. What was his name? Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking,
too
right,
on
right,
the
right.
nose. If you're right, it's a little too
right.
On
you can't
smelling the tobacco pipe smoke or pipe tobacco just reminds me. And now I'm gonna two episodes in a row reference The Parent Trap when she goes home to London and smells her grandpa and he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm making a memory that you smell like peppermint and pipe tobacco." So okay, shout to The Parent Trap again.
Cons, you were when we went to St. Augustine, right? You were there too.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we went to St. Augustine, the place that they used to have this unbelievable pipe spot there that they had all kinds of different tobacco from around the world. Mm-hmm. And when there's always these three or four old dudes that were there every day for like 20 years, like old retired veterans that would just hang out with their little service hats on and just sitting out and smoking. I was like, God, I want to be those guys when I grow up. Absolutely. Those dudes, they have three pals that they're with every day ripping pipes. Like, to me, that's the dream.
I mean, one of the reasons I started smoking cigars way back when was so I could look cool when I got older.
Yeah, that was, but cigars stink. Like, those don't smell good.
No, after
like,
the fact.
Not like pipes tobacco.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? Actually, Chaps, you're coming up next week, and I know we have plans to hang out with Kate, too. But speaking of pipes, at Keen's Steakhouse, no free ads, in New York City, it used to be this old club for all, like, the old-time, like, I'm talking about going back to, like, the 17, 1800s, like, people who built up this country. And there's all these pipes hanging from the ceiling because it was a club. And one of the things that these people would come and do was come and smoke their pipes, and you'd leave the pipe at Keen's. So there's pipes from like everybody from like Ben Franklin to John D. Rockefeller. Oh, like anybody. It's a who's who. It's one of the coolest steakhouses in New York
City.
Can
you still smoke pipes there?
I don't believe so. I think that's against
the
law now.
New York's so bullshit. Yeah. Like, there should be places that are grandfathered.
Sure.
When you guys come over, we can smoke pipes on the pipes waiting for you. We can all smoke.
Me, you, Cons, and Cash. Just rip it in pipes.
Right. Yeah. We'll just rip a couple pipes out there.
Ah, shit. Right. Bleep out the name. Sorry.
Oh, I don't care. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Let's move on to round number three. This one has to deal with a little bit of pipes too, but different types of pipes. We're talking titty pipes and we're talking dick pipes here, folks, because this one comes to us courtesy of. Two, it really comes to us courtesy of Task and Purpose and Stars and Stripes. But it starts out, Kate, why don't you walk us through it?
Sure.
You have it?
Bravo Zulu to Pentagon spokesman John Kirby. Great Nintendo game, by the way. Big Kirby lady here. Retired Admiral, great segue by me, who calmly and professionally responded to the most bizarre question posed to a defense official in recent memory. And this is the question. An Army major was reportedly drugged and bitten by strippers in Poland. Will that affect the U.S. military's footprint in that country? Asked this author, fulfilling his duties as your intrepid and uncompromising. Oh, my God. Senior Pentagon reporter. Basically, this reporter said, hey, guys, I can't do it.
Okay, so Kate still has pregnancy brain. I'll walk us through it. So he asked him what was going on with the story. Stars and Stripes first reported it, and they said that there was an Army major whose name is Matthew Connor. He's an Apache pilot who was eventually found and claimed that he had been
the
drugged
combo
and then
the two of you.
Yeah, seriously.
Matthew Connor.
Oh yeah, that's right. Matthew Connor. It's
it
like
was a
high end
strip club, but it was a bad decision.
I will say I've been called Chaps so often that now when somebody calls me Matthew, it really throws me for a loop. Like I feel like I'm in trouble because usually the only people that call me that is my mother and my wife. So if somebody says Matthew, like when I go to the doctor and they're like, we're looking for Matthew. And I'm like, well, where's that motherfucker? Like, why aren't you ready, Matthew?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, that's me.
Speak
that's
up, me. Sir.
That's actually me. So this guy is an Apache pilot, and he actually has some nipple talk that he wants to do, too, because he was involved with some Polish strippers who bit his nipples to keep him awake as they gave him lap dances and racked up charges to his credit card. I feel like that's a bad move for a stripper. When somebody passes out and you're a stripper and they don't say enough, it's like kind of like the Olive Garden cheese rules, right? Like it's the say when thing. Mm. Like you've got to say when to a stripper or that $25, $50 fee keeps racking up and racking up. It's like a Hulu subscription. It just keeps going.
If you don't say stop, they're going to keep charging you. That's like the movie. It was based loosely on a true story, Hustlers, with J-Lo about the gentlemen's clubs in New York City. And these women who would do this to gentlemen, they'd get them very, very drunk and then just keep them sober enough that they were awake and sign the credit card. And they would just rack up all sorts of charges.
How terrible that would be to be like somebody like A-Rod, like where that movie comes on and you're like, that's my former lover.
Yes, that's
they
a sad situation.
They were seen out to dinner again the other night. So thank
you. Quit toying with our emotions. Goodness
Seriously,
gracious.
They need to grow up big time. Mm-hmm. So Connor came away, not this Connor, but the major that we're talking about here, came Captain Connor, our Major Connor, not Captain Connor. Connor came away with the incident with receipts showing that he had been charged 50,000 whatever Polish money is, and either way, it was unlikely to be able to submit those expenses for reimbursement using the defense travel system. No shit. There is no shot the military pays for that, although I think they should because it's a morale type thing. So the actual story says a U.S. Army Apache helicopter unit planned a visit to the World War II sites in Poland, devolved into a drunken escapade at an off-limits strip club, leading to a suspected drugging of a battalion executive officer, the second in command, who went missing. Yes?
Sorry, that's a rough look. I can see, hey, you're in Europe, go to some strip clubs, have fun. It's a rough look that they were there to visit World War II sites in Poland.
Yes.
And that they were like, fuck this.
Let's However, if you take a day looking at World War II sites and get super depressed, you need like your own, like the titty vagina version of Bertie Higgins, where you need like a nice palate cleanser.
So before we deployed to Iraq, we took a staff ride. All the officers in my unit, we took a staff ride to New Orleans from Fort Hood to go visit the World War II Museum. And then we had a night out on Bourbon Street with my commander and all the officers. So I get the correlation here.
Biting somebody's nipples is an absolute savage move.
Tell that to my son.
I know. I after hearing your first part of your, like, the episode, Kate, and like talking to you, I feel very bad about even including the nipple biting in this, but we have a responsibility to the listener. It says that the command took immediate and appropriate adverse action against the leaders involved, said the colonel who is in charge of public affairs for the 18th Airborne Corps. A command investigation report obtained by Stars and Stripes details how taxpayers were spent on a trip that was supposed to be involved about improving unit cohesion and morale. The Army probe into the incident in Poland also revealed broader concerns about potentially compromised combat readiness due to a pilot being incapacitated. See, get out of my face with that. Like, there, he's not, that's not affecting unit readiness. He's just doing a little strip pole goofing. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that officers should be held to a higher standard, but at the same time, I mean, who among us hasn't gone out to an establishment maybe been a little overserved?
I do think that officers should be held to a higher standard. However, whenever you're going out, if you're going out as a unit and you don't come, stick in the mud. If you don't go, and you're a stick in the mud. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, lesbian, whatever. You go to a strip club. When you are in the military and you're out and about and the entire squad's going, you get your ass out there and you go see those pasties. Right, Kate?
I've been to more than I care to admit. Yes.
Right. Yeah. You go by yourself sometimes. You went and you still like to go. Where were we at? By Fort Bragg. And Kate was at a strip club.
And in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, I went to that old lady strip club.
But didn't you go to one in Fort Bragg too?
Yes, with cons, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, see?
I tried to stay quiet on that.
Yeah, see? Cons down here but, getting his nipples bit.
But, it was closed. We didn't go in.
That's the only time I've ever used the, do you know where I work? I was hammered.
Okay. What else happened in that parking lot in Fort Bragg, Kate?
I don't know, but I was there for, I farted.
Kate broke wind.
Anyway, I didn't mean to. I bent over to pick something up and it just...
That was an all-time fart. Anyway, so the issues included perceived preferential treatment for the pilots. That always happens. I don't know why they act like this is not...
That's
surprising.
Not new. That's not new. That's across the military, not just the Army.
If you're a pilot, that's what you sign up for, is preferential treatment. Yeah. That's the only reason why you do it. Mm-hmm. So investigation is typically a commander's driven probe that can lead to administrative punishment or a court-martial following a recommendation from an investigating officer. At the end of the first day, the team gathered for dinner. This is actually, they get into what happened here. At the end of the first day, the team gathered for dinner at the legendary White Rabbit Saloon. That sounds like an unbelievable place to just to have some drinks in Taiwan on.
Yes.
The White Rabbit Saloon?
Yes.
Come on.
I don't know what's happening there, but I want to be there.
And the bar, actually, it is, because it's capitalized. The legendary White Rabbit Saloon is the entire name. They're not saying, they're not giving it that adjective, the legendary, like as a courtesy.
That's very smart as a business owner.
Right. It is actually the legendary White Rabbit Saloon. And they celebrated their Sergeant Major's 40th birthday. Some soldiers bounced between the White Rabbit and other establishments, including a karaoke bar. By the end of the evening, many were heavily intoxicated and returned to their hotels around midnight. At that time, the unspecified number of soldiers, including the battalion executive officer, who went to the Club Obsession in a different part of the town. Reviews by the club's various online travel sites warn of a sketchy scene where drinks get spiked with narcotics and woozy patrons get scammed out of thousands of dollars. That sounds like Hostel. Yes. Honest to God.
Yeah, I I've never really I didn't say really. Like
Eastern Europe, you better be fucking careful.
You got to be on your game when you're ordering drinks in Europe, I think, period. Because
especially
you know,
Eastern Europe.
Yes.
It said this place was off limits to the soldiers. It was an off limits establishment. But then again,
I don't even think they look into it. You see something that's called the Legendary White Rabbit Saloon, off limits. Immediately.
No, Club Obsession is the off limits joint. The strip club was the place that the army was when you're in town, don't go here.
You got to just be on your toes in Europe because I just think they're a lot more fancy free with what they do and how they act. So if I was told the place was off limits, that wouldn't say to me, ooh, then that's where we need to go. I would say, all right, I'm going to trust you guys on this one. We're not going to go there. We'll just find another bar to hang out at.
But I will say this, and Cons, you're the same way as me, and Chaps has seen this in action and some horrible.
I already know what you're going to say.
Unprofessional ways by me. There's the group in this story that went home after the White Rabbit. And then there's the group that's like, well, I don't want to waste the rest of this night. Mm-hmm. Let's fucking go keep it going. Mm-hmm. You and me, Cons, are definitely we're not done.
Yeah. And I think people would think that about me. That's not who I am.
Chaps is home by 8:00. If we go to dinner, Chaps is already planning his exit before the check gets there.
The only way I possibly stay up late with everybody else is if we're doing it in like a very vanilla location. Mm-hmm. Like I'll stay at the office and drink wine until 3:00 in the morning with you guys. But as far as there's something about now being out in public late, just not my cup of tea anymore.
Sure. No, I understand that. That's a valid concern. But Kate and I mean, next thing you know, you're in the biggest
matter where
divey.
We could be in Jacksonville. We can be in fucking Fayetteville. We can be in Daytona Beach. You guys are doing some dumb shit.
We found the diviest dive bar in Daytona, and that place was great. It was a lot of fun.
We were up on the bar ripping heaters in Fayetteville. I hopped in a minivan full of Special Forces soldiers. I was like, yes. Take me wherever, dude. And then the Natty Ice seltzer. Chaps and I we were on a paid trip to go down
to
Texas
Austin
State Fair, Dallas.
Or Dallas,
And you were like, all right, Kate, we all went out to dinner. You're like, let's all go back to the hotel with nights out. I was like, oh, no, my friend. Because you knew I was going to be fucked up the next day for the event. And I literally vomited into a box full of the sponsor's t-shirts.
And slept for like half the day on the tour bus.
On the tour bus in front of the sponsors. So yes, so every now and then. But yeah,
they're like, where's Kate? I'm like, oh, she'll be fine. She's not feeling well. Like, oh, did she stay out late? Mm-mm.
No. She must have a bug.
Food poisoning.
Yeah,
the Barstool bus driver was bringing stoolies on the bus for tours. And part of the tour was that I was sleeping in the back. And they're like, there's
Kate's like
Kate.
Laying there, Kate, mouth open like Homer Simpson when he gets a donut. Yeah. Drool and shit coming out of her mouth.
One of the stoolies tucked me in a little with the blanket. Oh, that was thoughtful. Light off, and
it was
like,
Saturdays
yeah.
for the boys blanket.
Yeah, I was like, please, it was.
Hey, you want to flip that fan on too while you're over there? Thanks.
But anyway, so I sympathize with the group that said, like, come on, love one more drink. Let's go out a little longer. Mm-hmm.
That group went home. The other group went out. They ended up with charges that ended up being $13,000 in American cash. Connor, the major here, also expressed a belief that the champagne that he was given had been laced or drugs. The commanding officer, the battalion commander, whose last name is Fix, didn't report to higher headquarters the suspected drugging of Connor, who was still sick the following day. None of the witnesses mentioned Fix attending the strip club, according to the investigation. Connor was a pilot, was so severely impaired that at the incident that he canceled all of his flights for the next week because he didn't feel right.
Wow.
Yeah, that one's not great. They partied to the early morning hours. No one could make contact with Connor, who ended up back in his room later on that night. So they just had all kinds of shit. Tour went on. And then apparently they ended up the night and one of the soldiers was tagged in a place that was an alleged sex dungeon where tens of thousands of dollars were also spent. And they're trying to get that money. Not a great look.
You got to put the government credit card away when you're going out at night. Cause the God forbid you know, even if you have a little too much to drink and you accidentally put it down on the bar, at some point you're going to have to explain that. And you just don't want to have that conversation. Even if you're prepared to pay for it out of your own pocket. You don't want to have to explain to your superior why there's a $200 charge at a bar that maybe you weren't supposed to be at. So you got to be careful.
There was a report that was kind of like this when I was still in. It was when I was doing all kinds of shit with Secret Service and going all over the world, really, like Africa, Europe, South America. Like, we were going all over the place. Well, one of these Secret Services group got super fucked because they went to Brazil. Same type of thing. They went to a hostel. One of the Secret Service agents puts their government credit card down and everybody got screwed. From that point forward, if I was doing anything nightlife, anything past like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was paying out of my own like credit card or debit card or whatever, and then putting it in for reimbursement later, because I did not want any of those issues possibly coming up ever, because you're just fucked. Like, you have, even if you're doing something and you feel like is innocent, they're like, oh, well, why do you have this margarita on here? You're not supposed to get that with a government credit card. You just get fucked so fast.
I tell you, it always blows me away in my civilian jobs that I've had where there's been expense accounts, and you hear stories of people trying to get away with certain things, whether maliciously or not. And you just think, I always thought to myself, was it ever worth it? Like, that $500 tab, was that worth losing your job? You knowing full well you weren't supposed to expense that. It's crazy the types of things people try
to put
through.
But you're not thinking about
it.
Once you've had a couple booze, like you're boozing for a little bit, you're not thinking about long-term. You're like, oh, what's 500?
Oh, man.
This company's worth $1 billion. What's fucking 500 bucks to them?
They're not going
to
notice it. Yeah, that would just always, I never did anything nefarious on expense reports because I was just always in the back of my mind thinking, man, you don't want to get caught.
No,
not to mention it's not the right thing to do.
And the darkness of hate and discontent, different type of darkness in round number four. This one is about a little bit of a group that went into a southwestern cave in France for 40 days. The Montreal Expedition Guide was one of 15 people who volunteered to spend 40 days in the cold, dark caves without any way to tell time or to communicate with the outside world, all in the name of science. They finally came out on Sunday wearing special sunglasses to protect them from the light, because I imagine they're kind of like the Las Vegas mole people, like the people who live underneath the train tracks and shit. 40 days of no light, it'll fuck you up. The longest I ever went with reconnaissance Marines, we would always go out under the cover of darkness, because you like the cover of darkness is your friend whenever you're doing special tactical shit and you don't want to be seen ever. I didn't go outside or see the light of day for it was only like a week. Then when you go outside and you like take your sunglasses off and it's like legitimate light out and it's bright, like Iraq is very, very bright because the sun bounces off of the sand and the dirt. And it's like being at the beach essentially. So you go from constant darkness to that. And it's a very, very rough adjustment. So these people did this for 40 days. When they came out to announce the end of the experience after 40 days in the cave, it was kind of a shock. I remember thinking, oh no, already? Time went by so fast, said one of the participants. I still wanted to do things in the cave. The cave dwellers, seven women and eight men of different ages and backgrounds, were volunteers at a deep time research project led by Human Adaption Institute based in France. Our future humans on this planet will evolve. We must learn better to understand our brains if they're capable of finding new solutions, whatever the situation. It was cold, dark, and wet in the cave, about 10 degrees Celsius, whatever that is, most days, with 100% relative humidity and no natural light. The participants had no access to clocks, phones, communication devices, and they had no idea what time or even day it was, and no way to find out what was happening
in
the outside world.
Being in a casino, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. Their only technologies were camera and devices used to track their movements and measure their sleeping patterns. They're asked to eat, sleep, and wake up whenever it felt natural. As a result, everyone ended up living according to their own personal clocks. When the experiment came to an end, one of the participants said that she thought she had been in the cave for 29 days because of how many sleep cycles she experienced. Some other people in the group thought that they were on day 23 and others said 31. So we really had different cycles that made it difficult to perform the tasks expected of them in the cave. Things like fetching water, documenting signatures on the wall of previous cave explorers, and clearing out the debris. I can't imagine being in this situation, like not knowing. One, I think you would basically be living on Mars. Right, where you have like the days are just so much shorter. Is it shorter or longer in Mars? I think
smaller, shorter.
Sure,
Whatever.
I would think that you would go to like a 16-hour day, really, because you start getting tired. You're like, oh, it must be nighttime again. I'm going to go to sleep. Right? Like, I don't know how you would even begin to adapt.
Well, I always think about it like when people are in solitary confinement and you don't sleep as much because you're not doing as much, right? So you sleep just kind of, right? Maybe I've asked somebody before or read about it where you just kind of sleep, go in shifts where you just kind of like Frank the Tank, you just do sleep shifts where you just kind of sleep, you know, for an hour or two here and there, where there's not a consistent like day night period. So I think that would definitely throw you off because you never really know what time it is.
But Kate, I'm sure first month of your baby, you had those experiences where you would like nod off in like a recliner or something like that. And you would be startled awake and be like, oh, was I asleep for 10 hours or 10 minutes? I don't know.
I have no idea. I haven't done a regular sleep in over a month now.
That wasn't really your strong suit to start with.
True. Yeah. You were starting behind the eight ball.
But I will say how she said time went by faster than she thought. And like, they were surprised at how they found shit to do when New York went into lockdown. We took it so seriously in the beginning. Remember I had that counter and it was like 60 something days I went without contact with another human.
Yeah.
It was a long time in my studio apartment. So I was in one room for like over 60 days and barely ever left it. But each day I actually ended up, time kind of flew because I looked at each day as like a challenge. I was like, okay, I'm in this little cube. What's something new I can do in here every single day?
Next thing you know, you're setting up golf courses in your apartment.
I set up miniature golf courses with cat toys. I started gambling with the subways that were going outside my window. I started like, your brain does come up with ways to entertain you. And it does come up with ways to like find stuff to do somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what like I'm saying now, even too, with this, where I was texting you guys. I'm like, this time is flying. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing every day, but like, cause I'm on a totally different schedule.
But isn't it one of those things where it's flying, but also crawling?
Yes.
Like where every day seems so long, but the weeks are so short.
Yes. It's strange. It's very strange.
But I could also see you signing up for something like this.
Yes.
I would love it. Reading about this now, I'm like, oh my God, if I had the opportunity to do this here, I would 100% sign up for it without question. Like, definitely.
I could see if you didn't have like a young baby at home, I could be like, Dave, Kate is definitely going to go live in a cave for 40 days.
The content cave.
Yeah. The content cave. There you go. The content cave sponsored
Once
by Shady
Rays. Once you go to the cum castle, I mean, going to a cave in France is nothing.
But it sounds like this, you know, this woman, Langon, who you're reading about, she loved it. But this guy, Johann Francois, what a French name. Math teacher, sailing instructor said sometimes he had visceral urges to leave the experiment and he would run in 10,000 meter circles just to stay active.
Kind of like I ran in circles in my living room during the quarantine. But I get that. Yeah. Go ahead. I was just going to say, as a sailing instructor, he's probably used to being outside all the time, so I could understand how he went nuts.
Yeah, and he was saying, though, at the same time, with no obligations and no children around, wasn't too bad. Like, those were the moments he enjoyed, and that reminded me of
imagine being his kid and reading that. Like, oh, yeah, I was in this cave for 40 days, but my fucking kids weren't here, so that was pretty sweet.
Well, that's something a lot of people in the military don't admit, that, like, people are like, oh, it must be so hard, you deployed, blah blah blah, but it was also some of the easiest times in your life because you don't have to deal with kids, family, your spouse, nothing. You're just focused on one thing every day, and then you go to sleep. And
Kelsey, I never saw Kelsey when she was like 1.5 to 2.5. I heard she was terrible, but I'll never know.
It's crazy, you know, now that I've been in a long relationship for a lot of years, I forgot what it was like when I was single, where you just kind of just do whatever you wanted and without regard for anyone else. Alex recently, two separate weekends, went on bachelorette parties. And I was almost found myself wanting to text her to say like, hey, I was going to go do this. You know, what are we doing? And then I realized, wait, I could just go do that because she's in Florida. And it was, I will say, it was a nice little reprieve from having to consider somebody else.
When my spouse is gone, I don't do shit. Like if Annalise goes and like the kids are gone too, my ideal time, I saw a meme today that was like, there's a picture of an apartment, like a very stereotypical bachelor apartment. The only thing that was in it was a TV that still had like cords on the wall and shit like that. And a recliner, beige carpet, just a very basic apartment. And they'll say, single dudes view this as an okay place to live. And one guy responded, like, how upset are women that men can just sit and be completely content?
Yeah.
And I was like, that is me, man. Like, when my family goes, I'll put on like documentaries about Alaska that I know no one else in my family will care about. I won't watch them. They'll be on in the background and I'll just fuck around playing Tetris on my phone for hours and be completely content.
Yeah. Kevin, KFC has talked about on his show, the same thing, how guys are just content with nothingness and not having plans. And then they're fine with that and can just sit and be okay.
Kate will go explore Brooklyn looking for some weird rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Hey, look at
this grouse I found, guys.
Check out this wall made of glass. It's really cool.
To
I
this
swear.
Whippoorwill song.
I love birds.
But Chaps, it's the same thing.
Innocent. I love birds.
I do. I love
them. All right, let's move in.
I was just gonna say what you're talking about is the same thing I'm talking about. It's just the opposite. When you don't have to consider anyone else and you can just sit. It's the same thing. The crux of it being, you don't have to think about anybody else or consider anybody else when you.
Yeah, Kate said a million times that her idea of a good day is like going to a museum by herself and being able to go as slow as she possibly wants through the museum and nobody rushing her.
Yep, and going anywhere on hikes, going anywhere alone is my ideal. So poor kid.
All right, let's move into some save rounds, alibis, cons. We'll start with you. What do you got?
So a few things. We're talking about the Apache pilot real quick. You guys ever heard the joke, how do you know somebody's an Apache pilot?
They'll tell you.
Yeah, give them a second. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
We saw some a pool float we posted on our Instagram today. That's actually a tank that shoots water. There's a good chance that that ends up in my parents' pool this summer. Ooh. Chaps, I have another pool float that I will be getting for your house. I think it will suit your house better than the army tanks. So stand by for that. And then finally, rest in peace. Michael Collins passed away. Major General Michael Collins passed away this past week at the age of 90 from cancer.
Upset of the century that Major General is not the highest ranking general.
Right? Yeah, that doesn't make sense that the highest ranking is just general. It's like,
be my little general. It's right. The number two smallest one.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But it's interesting.
Lieutenant General should be the very basic one.
Yes.
It should go Lieutenant General, Brigadier General, General, Major General.
You're absolutely right. That should be the new structure, rank structure for generals, because that makes the most sense in terms of the descriptors.
How is Lieutenant General, how is that the third highest?
Anything, it's second to the highest, so maybe that's what makes sense about it.
Maybe.
I don't know. Stupid. But it's just crazy. I think his name is often...
Kate did not care about that at all.
No. Freaking...
I don't know if Kate would have got what the generals were.
No, not at all.
I have no idea what they are. I couldn't tell you.
Well, I need to send you this military spouse book.
I forgot we had a bunch of different kinds.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. Obviously, I think most people know Neil Armstrong, but even Buzz Aldrin is not as well known outside of maybe historical circles or military circles. And then you think about Michael Collins, nobody thinks about him and mentions him in the same breath as those other guys. Meanwhile, he had the stones to sit in the ship and circle the moon by himself, waiting for Buzz and Neil when they were done, you know,
shooting. But did he have autopilot?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But
if you got autopilot, I'm not impressed about anything.
I mean,
I see people bragging about flying all the time. It's really just taking off and landing. The rest of the time, you're just hanging out.
True. Right. That's a good point. Yeah. The last thing I'll say is, so Michael Collins is actually my grandfather's classmate, and they knew each other. And I was much Where younger. That school I've mentioned before.
The Air Force Academy. Got it.
Yeah. And I guess there was some reunion event and they were there and my grandfather got me a napkin signed by Michael Collins. And I don't know, maybe I was 8 or 9 at the time. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I think that thing got lost or thrown out. And I really wish I had that napkin to this day, because that would be very cool to have that.
What
so
if
anyway,
it said, let Collins be Collins?
That would be excellent. So rest in peace to Michael Collins, a true pioneer of the space game.
If I was, my last name was Collins, all I'd ever drink was Tom Collins, but I'd just call it a Collins.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about you, Kate?
Drinking a me. How do you know someone's a Apache pilot?
They'll tell you.
All the patchies. mm. Love birds, man.
All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. I'm very excited. If you follow me on Instagram, you're going to see some big time propane torches. I picked up a propane torch today on a whim. Cannot wait to fire that bad boy.
You continue to just get things that make your life more, that introduce more danger into your life.
I got to feel alive.
Okay. Whatever works for you.
I got to feel alive. All right. Yep. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys next time.